As a small child, Cunningham had been in a schoolhouse explosion that killed his brother and left Glenn with severe burns on his legs and torso. It was a month and a half before he could sit up, and more time still before he could stand. Unable to straighten his legs, he learned to push himself about by leaning on a chair, his legs floundering. He graduated to the tail of the family mule, and eventually, hanging off the tail of an obliging horse named Paint, he began to run, a gait that initially caused him excruciating pain. Within a few years, he was racing, setting mile records and obliterating his opponents by the length of a home stretch. By 1932, the modest, mild-tempered Cunningham, whose legs and back were covered in a twisting mesh of scars, was becoming a national sensation, soon to be acclaimed as the greatest miler in American history. Louis had his hero. In the fall of 1932, Pete began his studies at Compton, a tuition-free junior college, where he became a star runner. Nearly every afternoon, he commuted home to coach Louis, running alongside him, subduing the jimmying elbows and teaching him strategy. Louis had a rare biomechanical advantage, hips that rolled as he ran. When one leg reached forward, the corresponding hip swung forward with it, giving Louis an exceptionally efficient 7-foot stride. After watching him from the Torrance high fence, cheerleader Toots Bowersox needed only one word to describe him. Smooth. Pete thought that the sprints in which Louis had been running were too short. He'd be a miler, just like Glenn Cunningham. In January 1933, Louis began 10th grade. As he lost his aloof, thorny manner, he was welcomed by the fashionable crowd. They invited him to Weenie Bakes in front of Kello's hamburg stand, where Louis would join ukulele sing-alongs and touch football games played with a knotted towel, contests that inevitably ended with a cheerleader being wedged into a trash can. Capitalizing on his sudden popularity, Louis ran for class president and won, borrowing the speech that Pete had used to win his class presidency at Compton. Best of all, girls suddenly found him dreamy. While walking alone on his 16th birthday, Louis was ambushed by a giggling gaggle of cheerleaders. One girl sat on Louis while the rest gave him 16 whacks on the rear, plus one to grow on. When the school track season began in February, Louis set out to see what training had done for him. His transformation was stunning. Competing in black silk shorts that his mother had sewn from the fabric of a skirt, he won an 880-yard race, breaking the school record, co-held by Pete, by more than 2 seconds. A week later, he ran a field of milers off their feet, stopping the watches at 5 minutes, 3 seconds, 3 seconds faster than Pete's record. At another meet, he clocked a mile in 4 minutes, 58 seconds. 3 weeks later, he set a state record of 4 minutes, 50.6 seconds. By early April, he was down to 4 minutes, 46 seconds. By late April, 4 minutes, 42 seconds. "Boy, oh boy, oh boy," read a local paper. "Can that guy fly? Yes, this means that Zamperini guy." Almost every week, Louis ran the mile, streaking through the season unbeaten and untested. When he ran out of high school kids to whip, he took on Pete and 13 other college runners in a 2-mile race at Compton. Though he was only 16 and had never even trained at the distance, he won by 50 yards. Next, he tried the 2-mile in UCLA's Southern California cross-country meet. Running so effortlessly that he couldn't feel his feet touching the ground, he took the lead and kept pulling away. At the halfway point, he was an eighth of a mile ahead, and observers began speculating on when the boy in the black shorts was going to collapse. Louis didn't collapse. After he flew past the finish, rewriting the course record, he looked back up the long straightaway. Not one of the other runners was even in view. Louis had won by more than a quarter of a mile. He felt as if he would faint, but it wasn't from the exertion. It was from the realization of what he was.